Every day, there seems to be new episodes in the news about our religious freedom in this country being diminished. Recently, a pastor in Philadelphia read scripture on a street corner and was arrested for a hate crime. We have an example of a young man who was pretty smart. He was a smart kid. He was a valedictorian of his class. And as valedictorian of his class, there had been a lot of complaints of phone calls from very few people, but very much putting to the school board. No more prayer at school events. And so this young man, being a devout Christian, was told that he was not to mention anything about God in his speech. Have a look.
A remarkable story out of South Carolina, where a video of a high school valedictorian has gone viral today. The teen deciding to tear up his commencement speech and instead address the crowd another way. Trace Gallagher live in LA with the story. Trace.
Well, it is called Liberty High School, Megan. I mean, and they will long remember the valedictorian speech given by Roy Costner IV. Here's the backstory. In Pickens County, the school district there has been getting a barrage of complaints from atheist groups about including prayers at various ceremonies. So the school district banned prayer altogether. And then when Roy Costner took the stage, he took his approved speech that was approved by the school, and he tore it up, right? And then he began talking about his Christian upbringing. Here he is. There goes the speech. He begins talking about his Christian upbringing, how he was glad that his parents led him to the Lord at a very young age. And then he said this. Listen.
I think most of you will understand when I say, our Father, who art in heaven, hallowed be thy name, thy kingdom come.
Yeah, we played you 20 seconds of that, Megan, but the cheers went on, right? You can hear him going on, and he kept trying to get through the prayer. And at one point, he said, look, I couldn't even hear myself talk. That's how loud the cheers were. Did they come up and haul him off stage? As you see, no, they did not. They let him finish every bit of that. And now the school says he will face absolutely no disciplinary action at all. He says he was overwhelmed at the reaction by his classmates.
Wow. Wow, that was incredible to watch. I mean, it says something that it takes courage to recite the Lord's Prayer when you've been honored as valedictorian. I mean, it says something that that's such a shocking thing for us to witness in today's society, but it is. Trace, thank you.
Tension exists between the ideals that this country was founded upon and the representative idea that the United States is God's agent for good in the world. That somehow or another, we have been specially endowed with God's providential care, in which we know that we have been blessed. And that is, in fact, we have been blessed. But on the other side of it, there are those that look at this, that our government is like all others in other parts of the world, in which they fall into the world system, so that any allegiance to a government is a form of idolatry and should be rejected. Let us take a look at the subject by beginning in Romans chapter 13, 1 and 2, where we will see that all authority comes from God. Romans chapter 13, verses 1 and 2. Everyone must submit himself to the governing authorities, for there is no authority except that which God has established. The authorities that exist have been established by God. Consequently, he who rebels against the authority is rebelling against what God has instituted. And those who do so will bring judgment on themselves. Paul discusses the Christian's relationship to government and civil rulers. Everyone should submit to those in authority over them, for authority is established by God. Therefore, to rebel against the government is to rebel against God. As designed, the government is to use its force, sovereignly endowed, that it will prevent tyranny and it will promote justice. By submitting to authority for the Christian is to always assume God is the highest authority. So his claims on our allegiance are always first. Any conflict between God's authority and civil authority is simple. Always submit to the highest authority. And that is always God. There is then in our human life on this earth the possibility that obeying God, one would not be obeying civil authority. Now in Romans chapter 13 verse 5, drop on down the page there, we see how we kind of have a qualification here. Therefore, it is necessary to submit to the authorities, not only because of possible punishment, but also because of conscience. Now remember here that Paul is talking about the Roman government that was vehemently opposed to Christianity. So we can see that Paul is speaking nice of his Roman citizenship despite their stand against Christ and his followers. It is here that he is telling us that to obey civil authority is to stay out of trouble. It keeps you out of trouble. We can translate that into it keeps you out of prison and it keeps you out of court. Okay, so these are good things. But he goes on and he says, and even more importantly, he's saving the best for last. It's for a clear conscience. For when we do those things that please God, it is going to make us good citizens. And that's the reality that we see here that comes to weigh on this subject. Secondly, we need to pray, we need to participate, and we need peace. 1 Timothy chapter 2, verses 1 through 3. I urge then, first of all, that requests, prayers, intercession, and thanksgiving be made for everyone, for kings and for all those in authority, that we may live peaceful and quiet lives in all godliness and holiness. This is good and pleases God, our Savior. Within this, we can see here that there's an opportunity for us to please God. This summer, Robin and I had the opportunity to go on down to the Iowa Renewal Project. And within this, it's a thing that they invite pastors from all over the state to come together because they're looking at motivating us to coming back and energizing our congregations in making their voice heard in the civil arena. Yeah, it was very enjoyable. We get there, and the first thing you've got, of course, there's a bunch of pastors in the room, is the invocation. And it comes time for the invocation, and before the man prays, he asked us, do you spend more time talking about our president or praying for our president? Every single one of us in the room were willing to, if pressed, come up with, well, but there's godless decisions that are moving us away from God in our culture. And in so doing, you know, that gets us upset. And it's like, yes, and what do we have from Scripture? What do we have from Scripture? Pray for those in authority over you. Pray that they may know the Lord. Pray that they may walk with the Lord, that the decisions they are, that they would lead you like one that is directly under the authority of God. Wow. So that was kind of an interesting experience, but it certainly caught us all sideways, because even when we prayed regarding the president, it seemed we were doing a better job of praying at him rather than for him. Lord, correct us from the errors of our ways. So within this, then, with this idea of living in all godliness and holiness, it's very easy for someone to come along and say, hey, I'm just going to make this simple. In Jesus Christ, the Bible tells me I am a citizen of heaven. That is where my citizenship is. So I'm going to live in all godliness and holiness, and all of this civil stuff, the rest of you can have. I don't find that tenable with the Word of God. For within that, yes, we are citizens of heaven. But are we not also living in this land? We are citizens of the United States of America. So that God, who is wanting us to live to please Him in godliness and holiness, to live an excellent Christian life, is He not then also expecting us that to please God, we've got to obey Him who says, submit yourselves to civil authority? If we're going to be an excellent Christian, don't we also need to be a good citizen? It seems that these two things are inseparable. So now within this, we know we are to pray for those in leadership. We are to participate. And of course, within this, then we can go on and we can look at this, and it's like, wow, how does this break itself out? How do we live out this life in godliness and holiness in relation to our position as a citizen in the United States? I think it's important for us to know the issues. What is going on? Should we be alarmed that there seems to be a very small minority that is attempting to dictate policy in keeping God out of our courts, our culture, our country? What is our response going to be to that? And I think that within that, that it certainly we need to say that perhaps this country may already be too far gone. It does not change the fact that we who believe in Jesus Christ, who believe God is the creator of the universe, who believe that He should be a part and parcel of every aspect of our life, that in a country in which we can vote, in a country in which we have a voice that can be heard, do we not have an obligation to make it heard? We would not be violating any peacefulness. We would not be violating any holiness by letting our voice be heard, that we want God to be recognized in our culture. Something that 50 years ago was assumed. And now it's like almost like they're asking us to apologize for it. So as we consider this, certainly, you know, there is the thing that we need to make our voice heard. Are we not the ones that should be making the clarion call for righteousness and God to have his place in our culture, in our lives, in our nation? Romans 12:18 tells us, if it is possible, as far as it depends on you, live at peace with everyone. That takes us to our third point. There's multiple possibilities here. Unfortunately, when it comes to things like patriotism in the church, it seems to be a subject that can oftentimes raise more heat than it can light. Picture yourself at the 4th of July parade, and you've got those that are going by and handing out the small flags, and you've got people waving the flags. And for those who don't take a flag and don't wave it, the person will look at them with disdain to the point of, you might as well burn it if you aren't going to wave it. At the same point, you've got this picture of people that are casting judgment on those that seem to be, in their mind, hyper-patriotic. In which it's like, man, you have just got too much trust in this United States of America. Your focus is off of Christ, and it's wrong. As it comes to the Christian life and patriotism, I believe it is essential we recognize there's multiple possibilities. Every single one of us has got to be true to ourselves. We've already read about the importance of a clear conscience, which is basically saying to me and to you that whatever God is saying in regards to how I live an excellent Christian life and how that impacts me being a good citizen in the country in which I live, then I must stand for what I believe in. I must make it clear, this is what I believe. Now, just as important as it is for me to do that, it is equally important for you to do that. Now, here's the crux of this passage. Where you land on the subject of patriotism and the Christian life may not exactly agree with the person sitting next to you. Don't find out now, talk to him later. The point is this, is that just like I must live with a clear conscience before God of how my excellent Christian life translates into my culture, into my citizenship on this earth, I must live that way, so must you. And when I live my way and you live your way, and it happens to be just a little bit different, that's a good thing. And it's okay. Because would it not be more enlightening to allow the Holy Spirit to have his job, that if we're answering to the highest authority, which is God, and we're asking him to lead our life, wouldn't it make a whole lot more sense for every single one of us when it comes to an issue like this to rely on the Holy Spirit of God to put people in the right place? Because just if they're on one side of this or the other of you, and you're praying for them to kind of get this all figured out, In the process, you may get it all figured out and may be closer to them than you were before. We have to be excellent Christians. I don't think I'm going to get a disagreement in the room on that one. That's what we're called to do. How in the world can we be salt and light if we're given a poor example? Duh. We've got to be living out our faith in such a way that people are going, man, those Christians, they got something going on. Rather than going, well, I can stay out of church because they're just hypocrites. If we don't give them anything to talk about except good stuff, then obviously living an excellent Christian life is the right thing to do. It pleases God. As we bring together living that excellent Christian life with at the same time being a citizen of the United States of America, it dictates we're good citizens. So how do we make this walk and talk? Well, hey, you know, I mean, I would throw out the suggestion, go to your caucus. You know, and when you have the chance, or you got the town hall meetings, or you have the chance to go into the voting booth, you go in there and vote for God. It's pretty clear what issues there are that are promoting God in the world. We're in favor of those. You're also aware of those that are trying to diminish God in our culture. Those are trying to write him out and get rid of him. If you want to please God, if you want to live an excellent Christian life, you must oppose those. It's just that simple. Because within this dual citizenship we have, both in heaven and on earth, we know the priority is on that heavenly citizenship. But does it not have applications in our everyday life? So that as we come to perhaps try to get some cogency on how we look at this subject, may I just give you two things. Number one, consider how God would have me demonstrate good citizenship, that I would be a representative of both heaven and the United States of America. We've got to take our marching orders from Scripture. We don't take them from any political party. This is where we know what we need to do. Not from some lesser authority telling us how we need to live that out. Secondly, we must represent God and our human citizenship in all of our culture, in all of our community activities, and in our country. We must take a firm stand for those policies that agree with Scripture. We must oppose those that take the opposite. Whether you're at the caucus, whether you're at a town hall meeting, or whether you're just getting together over coffee, ask the questions, know, and share your opinion. Because we do want to live excellently for God. And I believe that that makes it important for us to be good citizens of the United States of America. Now, children, you may be sitting here today thinking, boy, Pastor kind of left us out today. I really didn't need to pay much attention because, you know, it's all this adult stuff going on. We've already seen on the screen how that a high school senior is smart enough to know his rights can't be violated inside the school. Adults can. They can keep a teacher from praying out loud at school. They can't keep you. They can keep a teacher from sharing his faith with a student. They cannot keep you from doing the same. Children, you have an opportunity to be warriors for the kingdom beyond what we can. So I guess I would challenge you to say, for all of us, but especially children, may you be excellent representatives of your citizenship in heaven. May that translate into your responsibility as a citizen of the United States. Father, we thank you that you've allowed us the opportunity to embrace a challenging subject. We just pray, Lord, that it is according to your word. May your Holy Spirit allow us to keep everything that we should and to set aside everything that we shouldn't. Because, Lord, we want to do it your way. That's the only way that's going to work. That's the only way that's right. May we be gracious and loving and accepting of one another as we seek to honor you in our lives with our dual citizenship in heaven and in the United States of America. In Christ's name, amen. I trust your hearts this morning have been challenged to be your best. I trust that coming with that is going to make you gracious and understanding to everyone around you. As we all are on our own personal journey with the Lord, that he will guide us into all truth. Let us stand. It's pretty hard to obey God with supernatural help. If you're here this morning and you do not yet know Jesus Christ as your own personal Savior, you don't have the same supernatural help. And it's not difficult, it's impossible. Apart from a relationship with Jesus Christ, you cannot please God. So if there's anyone here that does not yet know Jesus is their own, would just if the Spirit so moves you, just come on up here right now. We'll take the Word of God. I'll show you how you can know him today. Begin that relationship that gives you a supernatural advantage for life that most of the rest of us have already experienced. If there's anything on your heart that you'd like to make a public decision, just would ask you to come at this time. Wait a few seconds, see if anybody's coming, and if not, then let's go ahead and we'll close. Father, we thank you. You have loved us with an everlasting love. It's why we gather here. It's what brings us back together during the week to study your word so that we can know you, so that we can fellowship with one another, encourage, build up, that we can be the effective, impacting body of believers you want us to be in this community. Lord, we don't take lightly the fact that we were going the other way and you brought us in. Lord, what amazing grace, what amazing love you have lavished upon us that we would be your very own. May we be excellent citizens of heaven. May we consider how that will impact us being good citizens in the United States of America. We pray in Christ's name. Amen.